Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Old Testament book of Exodus. The Old Testament book of Exodus in chapter number 20. The Old Testament book of Exodus in chapter 20, and many of you are familiar that this is what is commonly called the Ten Commandments. That God gave 10 specific commandments within the law that are given to us to show not how we can get to heaven, but instead to show us our true nature, that we need Jesus. That stamped over the Ten Commandments should be in big boxcar bold letters, I need Jesus. But with each one of these Ten Commandments, we also see a reflection of who God is, and that our relationship with God and our relationship with man and how it should be. And then each one of these commandments is not a suggestion, it's not a good idea, but it is something that God commanded, and it shows us where we fall short. But it also shows us where we can improve upon as we try to please the Lord. The first four commandments we've already gone through deal with our relationship with God. Now as we start on the fifth commandment, and the remaining commandments from here on out deal with our relationship with other men. And so we want to have our relationship with others as good as possible. But at the same time, we also see where we fall short of the glory of God. If you don't mind, let's read through the Ten Commandments. And I want to remind you that we preface this with each one of those commandments that I am the Lord thy God. That the only thing that makes anything wrong is because God said it was wrong. And it was God who gave us these Ten Commandments. If you don't mind, look with me in the book of Exodus in chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, and notice with me in verse number 1. The Bible says this. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. I am the Lord thy God, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. I am the Lord thy God. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not kill. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not steal. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Exodus in chapter 20? Exodus chapter 20 in verse number 12, what we commonly call the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. And with the Lord's help, we want to preach this commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. Let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And thank you for the great privilege it is to come to your house today, this morning. And we thank you for all the folks showing up and even visitors being here. And we're praying that we could be a blessing and encouragement unto them. Lord, I know that I have nothing to offer them of myself, that it must be you and you alone with your Spirit that speaks to them, that's an encouragement to them. Lord, I'm asking that even as we go through this commandment, that children would be attentive and that they would hear, that adults would be attentive and that they would hear, and that, Lord, you would use this to maybe have a revolution in the homes of good folks, and that you would help homes to be stronger because of the preaching of your word. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we come to the fifth commandment, notice again what it says: honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord thy God giveth. Now, if you were just to take this off the surface and just say, children, obey your parents, and then leave it there, you would be doing an in-service, a disservice to this commandment, because it goes a lot deeper than this, and it covers a lot more ground than just the surface thought of children, just obey your parents. If you don't mind, let's take some time and let's dive into this. And the first thing I'd like to show you is the mandate of God. The mandate of God. Notice what it says: honor thy father and thy mother. You know, God is establishing a principle here of authority, and he's giving the idea of authority, and he's pointing it that people are to obey authority. And the reason why he's saying honor thy father and thy mother is because the home is the building block of society. The home is the building block of society. The home is also the building block of churches. If we want strong churches, we must have strong homes. And when we have weak homes within the churches are weak. When we want strong nations, the homes must be strengthened. And when we have weak homes, we have a weak nation. And truly, as we look upon our nation today, we can see homes that are broken. Homes that are in disrepair. Homes that are not functioning properly. And we can see our society has fallen as well. That we see this mandate of God because the home is the building block. We have to do, if you could forgive the term, we must start with our homework. We have to work with our things at home, because that's the part that's falling apart. And if we do want strong churches, and I hope you do want this church to be strong, and if you want our nation to be strong, and I hope you do, that we have to start with things at home. And it starts off by saying to honor thy father and thy mother. Notice the promise that goes along with it, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord giveth thee. You know, this is the first commandment with promise. There's a promise attached to it. It says, if you want to have well days, if you want to have days that go well, it starts with your honoring your folks. There is a commandment attached to it. There are many people who may live long but are miserable, and it attaches themselves to this commandment here. Do you know that the rest of the commandments that deal with our relationship of man, it all starts with disobeying this commandment? You start looking at people who are murderers and adulterers. You look at the disrespect. You look at the things that happens. It traces back to their relationship with their folks at home. That it starts with this working with the children, and it works working with them, that in order for them to be the citizens they ought to be, it starts with a relationship with parents at home. And how they respond to parents is how they're going to respond to their employers, how they're going to respond to their wives, to their children, how they're going to respond to government, how they're going to respond. It begins with this idea at home. This visible authority that is placed directly over them. Notice, if you don't mind, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Deuteronomy is the second telling of the law. There's about 40 years in between the first tellings. And we can see that there's a little bit more information in the second telling of the law. And Deuteronomy, chapter 5, as Moses is repeating the Ten Commandments back to the people, notice there's just a little bit more added to it to give us an understanding of this mandate of God, what God has given to these folks. The book of Deuteronomy, if you're in the book of Exodus, keep going forward. The book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter number 5. Deuteronomy in chapter number 5. Notice with me in verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord hath commanded thee. Now, notice that. That's something that's added. As the Lord commanded thee. You know, God commanded you children to honor your mother and your father. You are under God's commandment. You say, what's God's will for my life? To honor your father and your mother. Notice as it goes on. It says that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Kids, you say, my life's horrible. You know what it stems from? How you treat your parents. That's the first relationship you have to work with, is honoring your folks. Honoring those that are in direct authority to you. That's where you guys need to pay attention to me. I'm trying to help you. You guys want good lives? Not just long lives, but life worth living? It starts with this. To honor your folks. Which brings me to the second thing. The first one is the mandate of God, that God gave a commandment to honor your father and mother. The second thing is the meaning of honor. If we're going to define, ask that people obey, we have to define our terms. What does the word honor mean? Now, honor doesn't mean obey, but it deals with the idea to hold in high esteem, to give reverence to. And it does carry the idea of obey, but it doesn't stop there. It carries with it the idea to hold in high esteem, to have reverence. Honor deals with our attitude as well as our actions, not only to obey, but it deals with the action. Obey just deals with the action, where honor deals with the attitude along with it. For example, I've used this example before, but we understand it. We tell a child to go clean their room. Fine. And then they go clean their room. They may have technically obeyed, but there was no honor in it. Absolutely not. You know, when a child treats his parents with disrespect, he is in violation of this commandment. That you may have a child that technically obeys, that may not be in trouble, but violates this because it goes to the heart of the matter, of the idea of honoring, of putting in high esteem, of reverencing. You know, children, you are to reverence your parents. You are to lift them up in high esteem. You are to lift them and to show them the respect that's due to them because of whom they are. That they are your parents. You say, but you don't understand what they do. They do this and do this. No, 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 no. You have a commandment to honor. You know, we talk about this honor. The idea of honor goes above and beyond obeying. Do you know that there's a time in a child's life where he's not to obey his parents? When he grows up and establishes his own home. There's a lot of kids who are destroyed because they are not taught responsibility for themselves and not taught that they have to suffer their own consequences. When a parent keeps covering for their child and keeps them from the consequences, they are violating this commandment by not teaching them how to have responsibility on their own. And how many children are now adults in this world who can't function because they have no responsibility? Because the parents have got to the place where they take away consequences. Sometimes they make them obey when they're 50 years old, you know, and they're keeping them down. But the children have never learned how to function in society. They don't have the consequences. What is it when I don't have a job? Well, there's a consequence to it. When I get fired from a job, well, there's consequences for it. When I go out and steal a car, well, there's consequences for it. That kids need to be able to suffer the consequences. Now, it's a time where you slowly let go. And when they establish their own household, parents, you're not to interfere with that. But at the same time, there may be a time where a child is not under the authority to obey. But there is never, never a time where a child is not to honor their folks. You see, it's even with an attitude. There's an attitude that even if you're 30 years old, you are to honor your parents. You say, but you don't understand who my parents are. I don't have to. You're under a commandment of God to show them honor. Find some way to honor them. Find some way to respect them. Find some way to reverence them. But you always have that obligation. It doesn't matter if they're 80 years old and they're getting placed in a retirement home or however you're taking care of them. You are still to honor them. You are to reverence them. You are to respect them. And I understand there are times that that is hard, but you are under a commandment of God. This still goes with that it will do well with you and have long lives. How many times is it that people get under the authority and they rebel against mom and dad when they're out of the authority and they don't reverence them and don't honor them? And there are consequences for that. That there may be a time when you're an adult that you're not under the responsibility to obey everything they give you, but you're never to the place where you're never to honor them. You are to show them honor. Now, I understand this is hard. I come from a home where it is difficult, but you may have to go out of your way. You may have to do something, but find a way to honor them, to reverence them. You see, the honor comes the idea of respect. You should have yes, sir, and no, sir. You should use proper titles. You should do things to them. Find ways to honor and respect people. Now, we talked about the mandate of God. This is a commandment. We talked about the meaning of honor, that it's above and beyond obeying, that we're never to leave the place where we're to honor them. But here's the third thing and where I'm going to camp out at for a while. The mandate of God, the meaning of honor. But the third thing, let's go back to honor. Forgive me. I want to take something really quick. What does it mean to honor? Let me show a word picture. Turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, and I want to show you a biblical picture of honor. In 1 Kings chapter 2, Solomon is now the king. He is the king over all Jerusalem, Judea, Israel. He's king over all. David has died, and Solomon is the king. He is the head honcho. He is the king. But I want you to show you this example of honor that he shows his mother in 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Kings 2:19. Notice what he does. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed himself unto her and sat down on the throne and caused a seat to be set for the king's mother, and she sat at the right hand. Here he is, he's the king. But you know, when his mother showed up, he bowed down and did reverence to her. He stopped what he was doing, he approached her, he reverenced her, and then he brought her and said, "All right, mom, you want to talk? Here's a chair right next to my throne. Let's talk." You see, he stopped what he was doing, and we see this picture of honoring. That even though he was the king, and technically he was her king, he stopped what he was doing to honor his mother. And he showed her respect and reverence even though he was the king. All of us children, whether you're a small child or older child, we need to find ways to honor and reverence our folks. That's what God has given us to do. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Here is the retelling of the Ten Commandments, this specific commandment in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking about this meaning of honor right now. What does it mean to honor? Is there examples? What does the Bible mean by that? Well, let's let the Bible defend itself. We saw the example of honoring. Now let's see the New Testament as it repeats this law. Notice, if you don't mind, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, we know that kids' favorite question when they're young is why. So God says, I already know you're going to ask that question, so let me repeat it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? For this is right. You know why you need to obey your parents, kids? Because it's right. Isn't that a good enough reason? because it's right, because God said so, because it's right to do. Notice as it goes on, verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's talking about the fifth commandment. This is the first commandment that has a promise to it. Here it repeats the promise, verse 3, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, let me admit to you, I don't know what all that entails, but I do know that God is true and he keeps his word. And I do understand that as you are taught to honor your folks, that the Bible says it goes well with you. We don't understand all the consequences that go with it when we learn to disrespect our folks from a young age or even to an older age. How many people have developed bitterness with their folks in an older age and how it disrupts their life? Even though their parents may be states away, it could still disrupt their life because of bitterness, because they've chosen not to honor them. You say, but you don't understand who my folks are. I don't have to. The commandment doesn't give exceptions. Find a way to honor them. So we talked about the meaning of honor. Now I want to spend where I'm going to spend the rest of my message. The message to parents. We talked about a mandate to God. The meaning of honor. Here's a message to parents. Do you know whose responsibility it is to teach our kids how to honor? Parents. Parents, if you have a child under 18 and they show signs of disrespect, may I humbly tell you, you have violated this fifth commandment, because it is your responsibility to teach them. It is your responsibility. You say, but my kid obeys what I tell him. I'm not talking about just obedience. We're talking about an attitude that goes with it. They may do what you say after you tell them 15 times. When a child, if they're going to honor you and respect you, they should do it once after you told them once and only once. It is a sign of disrespect when you have to tell them 5 times. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be practical. They should have enough respect for you that they don't argue and fight with you when you tell them to do something. They don't have an attitude. They don't sit on the floor and scream. They obey. And parents, you have to teach them. You have to cultivate them. You need to teach them to respect others. One of the greatest pieces of advice on parenting that we received before we were married was that if we raise our kids so others enjoy them, we'll enjoy them as well. You know, there's something to that. Do others enjoy being around your kids? Or they kind of say, I'd rather not. If you teach them so others will enjoy them, you will enjoy them as well. But you have to teach them how to respect. You have to teach them to say yes, sir, no, sir. I understand some people don't like that, but it is a matter of respect. We should teach them how to use people, Mr. Swaheim, Mr. So-and-so, Mrs. So-and-so. We say, well, our culture doesn't do that. Yes, and we have a very disrespectful culture. You need to teach them how to say thank you. And by the way, you're not supposed to teach them in public. You teach them before you go to public. When you go to a restaurant, it's not a time to tell them to behave. They should already be trained to behave. You shouldn't have to get behind them and say thank you. You should already taught them to say thank you before they get to that. That is part of what parents are supposed to do, to correct them and to teach them in the right time and the right place. So that way when they're in public, they are to do something. But there is a reverencing. Turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to the book of Proverbs chapter 17. Let me remind you of a principle that sometimes we don't think about until it's later as we're parenting. But Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs 17. Parents, you have the responsibility to train your children to respond, to reply, to honor, to respect. That is a parent's job. It is the authority's job. Proverbs 17, notice in verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers. Take that first phrase first. Children's children are the crown of old men. Do you realize that your child is going to raise your grandchildren one day? That could be a scary thought, or it could be a wonderful thought. And we don't realize that as parents until later on, that they are going to be the parents of your grandchildren. And that you need to start training them how to be good parents to your grandchildren now. By teaching them to honor, teaching them to respect. You know, we want to work with our kids. We want to teach them how to respond well to others. And that's our responsibility. And if we have disrespect for children and they're under 18 and under your roof, that is the parents violating of the Ten Commandments. And that we need to work on them. We need to love on them. That is our responsibility. We need to love on them. We need to teach them. Notice the last part of it. The glory of the children are their fathers. You know, there's a lot of children who don't have glory because the fathers aren't doing what they're supposed to do. And again, that's one of our problems with our nation, is that parents are not being the parents they ought to be. And that mothers aren't doing their job and fathers aren't doing their job. And it's, remember, the building block of society is the homes. And when the homes aren't functioning, it affects everything else. And I understand with broken homes that you got to do with what you got to do. But it can be done with the Lord's help and the Lord's grace. And it has to be done. And it's expected to be done. And that we are all children. Go back with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. We had read the first three verses just a second ago, dealing with children, obey your parents. But let's see the parents' responsibility in this same passage, Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read verse 1 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, notice this, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Here we see here that this, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That parents, we need to be the example because they are going to follow after us. If we don't want our kids to lose our temper, guess what? We can't lose our temper. And if we do mess up, you need to be man or woman enough to sit down and apologize to them. If we want them to apologize for misbehaving, we need to apologize when we mess up. You know, kids may be hypocrites themselves, but they could spot hypocrisy a mile away. And that we need to be consistent ourselves. Now, this doesn't give children excuse. They are to obey whether their parents are rascals or not. But we as parents, we are to teach them. And we're to be the example in our own lifestyle. If we want them to say thank you, we need to say thank you. If we want them to treat people well, we have to treat people well. If we want them to treat others with respect, we have to treat people with respect. Because that inconsistency, when we say, do what I say, not what I do, that messes children up. And it violates this commandment because it teaches them something. Do you know that your actions are louder than your message sometimes? We need to be consistent in our lives. And that there's nothing wrong that if you do something wrong, if you made a mistake, to apologize to them, to pull them aside and teach them. By the way, parents, when they roll their eyes, take care of it right then. You pull them aside and say, we don't do that. It is disrespectful. We need to teach them. Sometimes kids develop habits and they don't realize that they're being disrespectful. They're being disrespectful. But you need to point that out and say, that is wrong. And I understand it is hard to point out attitude. But they need to be corrected for attitude. You say, but they did what they were supposed to. But if their attitude wasn't right, you fix the attitude. And I understand it's hard to point out attitude. But you must. Because that is disrespect. You know, this idea of fathers and mothers go beyond physical fathers and mothers. But it goes to the idea of any authority. That there are several uses of the father. In the Bible, there's political fathers, right? Don't we use our founding fathers, George Washington? He was our founding fathers. There should be respect to it. There are spiritual fathers. The person who led you to the Lord. The person who's discipling you. Your pastor. Those can be spiritual fathers in your life. And you should show them honor. And you should show them respect. That there are domestic fathers, our employers. We should show respect to our employers. This is contained within that commandment. There are natural fathers. We should obey our parents. But there is this commandment starts at home. And that if our respect and our honor to our parents aren't right, it's going to go off. You know, think about what children do. We call them Walmart kids, you know. They throw a fit. You may think it's cute now. I don't. But you know what? We don't want our kids to go throw a fit in their job because their boss asked them to do something. Wouldn't that be horrible? No! No! But if we don't correct that, isn't that what could happen? Do we want our children to go into a marriage, a husband maybe, and the first time his wife does something bad, I don't like this anymore. That's not good in a marriage. What about a young girl who says, well, I don't like it. That's it. I'm leaving. We don't want that in a marriage. There is a taught of respect. We have to teach them because what's going to happen? It bleeds out to the rest of society. And parents, we have that responsibility to raise our kids to respect. If they will not respect you, they will not respect other authority. How they treat you is how they're going to treat others in their life. Sons, how they treat their mothers is how you're going to treat your wives. Daughters, how you treat your fathers is how you're going to treat your husband. And if there's no respect there, it's not going to carry on. If you're not going to respect your parents, then you're not going to respect your employer. I don't care who your employer is, whether it's NASA or McDonald's. You don't throw a fit because your employer told you to do something. And parents, if we don't correct it now, it will go into... No wonder we live in a society. You know, when I talk to employers, you know what they say? The number one thing I'm looking for is someone who's willing to work. Not just show up willing to work. We live in a society that is falling apart. And it's because our homes are falling apart. And it's a violation of this commandment, which goes beyond just getting them to obey what you tell them to do, but deals with the attitudes that they have. Do they reverence you? Now, I understand it's hard. This is something we'd rather put aside and not deal with. But out of all the Ten Commandments, this is something that must be dealt with. It must be dealt with. Because these kids are going to grow up to be your children's parents. They're going to grow up to be the next employers, the next leaders. And we already have a society that is falling apart. And it is falling apart quickly. And you trace it back to the home. This commandment is the building block of everything else dealing with our relationships to man. Do you know that if we treat young men to respect their mothers, they're not going to have a problem with the idea of don't cheat on your wives later on because they're going to show her respect. You know, when this commandment is the one that if it's not done, why do people murder each other? Because they have a loss of respect for other people. That's why they murder. When you steal from someone, it is a lack of respect. It's a lack of honoring. It all comes with this building block right here. This is the very most important commandment in dealing with the other commandments, dealing with man. It deals with the idea of honor and respect. So let me ask you, children, have you been obeying and honoring your folks? And not just little children, older children, 50 years old. Do you still honor your folks? When's the last time you called them up and said, I love you? When's the last time you said, I appreciate what you've done for me? You said, but you don't understand what a scoundrel my dad was. Find something to honor them. Find something to honor them. If nothing else, for your own sake, that you may keep this promise and that it may be well with you in your life. And then parents, you realize what a great responsibility you have to teach your kids how to respect. And if they are disrespectful, you must fix it. You know, I've dealt with parents for the last 20 years. And parents, they seem, I've even had a couple say it, that they think their kids will finally correct themselves if they just leave them alone. They will not. They will not. They will not wake up one morning and say, "Oh, I am sorry for all the lying I've ever done. I'm sorry for the times I went to my mom and rolled my eyes." There's no automatic reset. They have to be trained. And if not, it is going to carry on for the rest of their lives. Again, can you imagine a marriage where a husband is trying to correct his wife and trying to lovingly say that, and she rolls her eyes, "I don't care what you're saying." Is that a marriage that's not in trouble? That's a marriage that's headed for wrong things. And it is not cute inside of a marriage. And it is frustrating because people are not taught how to deal with people with respect. I understand this is hard preaching. It's not harsh, but it's hard. Because remember, each of these Ten Commandments, over it says, "I need Jesus." And each one of these Ten Commandments show us where we fall short of the glory of God. You see, God wants us to be with Him forever. And He is a perfect, holy God. But because of our sin, we've fallen short of the glory of God. Because of that, we deserve to be separated from all eternity into an awful place called hell. But God loved us so much that He sent His Son to die for us. Why did Jesus die? Because I need Jesus. There's none righteous, no, not one. We, none of us, have obeyed these Ten Commandments. In fact, as we study each and every one of them, we find out how short we have truly fallen. But the good news is, with Jesus' help, we can have victory. And some of you, that's what you need right now. I'm not asking you to do it by yourself because it's impossible. What I'm asking you to do is to go to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I need your help." And some of you need to wake up. Some of you need to recognize where you are. Maybe there's some bitterness in your life towards your parents that need to be taken care of. And I'm talking about old kids now. Some parents need to wake up and realize where their kids are at. And that it's not just a simple, do they obey? Is he not in trouble? But is the respect there? Is the honor there? Not how do they treat you, but also how do they treat others? There should be respect, and if not, it needs to be corrected. And I understand that's a hard task, but I need Jesus. That some of you need to come and say, "Jesus, I admit to you this is what's going on. I need help." For those of you who have bitterness or haven't been honoring your folks, tell Jesus specifically, "I need help honoring my folks. I need to find something to honor them with. I need Jesus." For you children who are at the sound of my voice who could hear me, some of you know that deep in your hearts. Others may say you're a good kid, but you know your own heart. Some of you may say, "I need Jesus. Help me to honor my parents. Help me to obey my parents. Help me not just to do it in action, but with my attitude." Maybe it's other authority, Sunday school teacher. Maybe it's your teacher. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's someone else. But this carries the idea of honoring, and it's a violation of this fifth commandment. How is your honor? How is your respect? I need Jesus. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. 6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.